The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokens. We've made it to the weekend. It is Friday, March 22nd, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It's also got to be, yet again, a crowded studio because we have sitting in with us a bona fide celebrity of sorts. Terry Joyce is in town. How you doing, Terry?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's great to be here.
Our studio audience loves you.
Oh,
of course,
I love them.
Terry is the Hollywood Hemptress, and you're on the Atomic Comedy Network now.
Yes,
tell us
I am.
A little bit about that, real quick.
Well, originally I was on New Dissident Radio, had done Hollywood Hemptress Hour there, and then I worked with you down when you guys were doing the Cannabis Cup last year, and I saw how technology has advanced, and there's live streaming video, and I went, you know what, I don't have to stay in LA anymore, and I love Portland, and so moved up here, and Michael Jenkins and I had worked together, and you know, we started exchanging ideas about stuff. And he goes, well, what can I do for you? And I said, well, I'm doing the show. And he goes, you know, I'm a computer geek, don't you?
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I have all the software. And he called me up one day and said, I couldn't sleep last night. I want to do this network called Atomic Comedy Network, and where, you know, comedians tell the truth. And he goes, I like your show to be the prototype. So
right on. Well,
yeah,
we'll talk more about that as we get into our later part of the show. We'll also have some clips, some of your Harry Palmer clips we've got.
Yes,
we'll play some of that as well. So stay tuned for that. Also coming up on today's show at 5:30, Free Weed. Donnie Danko. That's right. Danny Danko is joining us from High Times Magazine in Brooklyn, New York. And he's going to preview the first American Cannabis Cup taking place on 420 this year. We're going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. You got to tune into that. So Danny will tell us all about that, plus what's going on with Free Weed and all of his podcasting that he's doing. Also on today's show, but a lot of great stuff happening on 420 Radio tonight. Herb Thrasher's calling in with Rockin' Friday. Later tonight, we are going to be live at the Red Room in Portland, just down the road here, for a live rock show. We're going to do a live version of the Herb Thrasher show right there from the Red Room. Cross our fingers for the tech, but we think we can pull it off. Lacero is headlining the show. We got a couple of opening acts as well that we'll talk about. But before we get to all of that, we got some behind the headlines. We're going to take a look at the combat sports of boxing and mixed martial arts, how they're dealing with marijuana use by their fighters. And we got to open up with the 420 Radio News, all sorts of interesting headlines today about older Americans, featuring a friend of mine in the New York Times, the Kentucky Hemp Bill update, marijuana sales in America, how big could it get, and decrim in New York, how's that going? All that and more on the Russ Belville
Show. We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 22nd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. More older Americans are using marijuana, this from the New York Times. For Sharon Neufer, a 65-year-old retired teacher, socializing with friends, all in their 60s, means using marijuana. Once a week, they get together to play Texas Hold'em poker and, quote, pass around a doobie, Ms. Neufer said. It's nice, Ms. Neufer said. It's just a social thing. It's like when people get together and they crack open their beers, end quote. Statistics suggest that more members of the older generations, like Ms. Neufer, are using marijuana. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health reported in 2011 that 6.3% of adults between the ages of 50 and 59 used the drug. That number has risen from 2.7% in just 2002. Moms for Marijuana International, a pro-marijuana group that brings people together to socialize and learn about the positive aspects of the plant, has received so many queries from older people over the past year that it is creating chapters called Grannies for Grass in Illinois, Ohio, and Missouri. Negotiations on hemp bill continue. Comer optimistic about compromise from Kentucky.com. State Agriculture Commissioner James Comer expressed optimism Thursday that state lawmakers next week will approve a bill to regulate hemp farming in the state. Comer said he was open to compromise with lawmakers on the bill, but stressed that he could not support any change to it that would delay getting permits from the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency to grow the crop. For example, he said a bill that would merely study hemp farming would not fly. Comer's comments came after a meeting of the Industrial Hemp Commission. Most of the meeting focused on the status of Senate Bill 50. The measure, sponsored by Senator Paul Hornback, Republican of Shelbyville, has cleared the Senate and a House committee. It is intended to allow Kentucky to quickly license hemp growers if the federal government lifts a ban on the plant, a botanical sibling of marijuana. U.S. medical marijuana sales to hit $1.5 billion in 2013. Cannabis revenues could quadruple by 2018, an exclusive from Medical Marijuana Business Daily. Retail medical cannabis sales in the United States could hit an estimated $1.3 to $1.5 billion in 2013, growing 10 to 15% from last year as the industry recovers from widespread turmoil, according to exclusive research data released today by Medical Marijuana Business Daily. The long-term future appears even brighter. The legalization of marijuana for adult use in Colorado and Washington, coupled with the emergence of several new markets and continued overall growth on the medical side, could boost overall state legal cannabis sales to $3 billion in 2014 and $6 billion in 2018. New York City marijuana reform hits pothole in Albany. Lawmakers pass on decriminalization for now. From thegothamist.com. Earlier this week, hopes were high that Governor Cuomo's push for decriminalization of small amounts of pot in New York City would finally pass as part of the new state budget. But after a week of closed-door negotiations, lawmakers couldn't come to an agreement. Governor Cuomo had been pushing for the change in the law, which would make possession of 15 grams in open view a violation and answerable by a summons instead of a misdemeanor. But on Thursday, Cuomo announced that he had reached an agreement with Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver and Joint State Senate leaders Dean Skelos and Jeffrey Klein on a state budget, but there was no mention of the marijuana decriminalization. Senate Republicans offered to permit a vote on the marijuana reforms in exchange for increasing the number of bullets allowed in an ammunition magazine from 7 to 10. Possession of small amounts of marijuana was decriminalized in New York State in 1977 for 25 grams or less, as long as it's not in public view. But the NYPD, especially under the Bloomberg and Giuliani administrations, has widely disregarded this law, and the department's stop-and-frisk policy has been instrumental in driving up the numbers of pot possession arrests. Washington State's marijuana law creates a hazy border, from the Bellingham Herald. Canadians traveling south from British Columbia, where pot is illegal, but the law lightly enforced, are finding that before they can reach weed-friendly Washington, they must first reconcile with the U.S. government, which controls the border and outlaws the drug. Canadians are regularly busted at the border with quantities of weed small enough to be considered legal in Washington, yet illegal in any amount under federal law. With marijuana now legal in Washington under I-502, local law enforcement officials are no longer citing anyone 21 or older for possessing up to an ounce of marijuana, leaving border officials with no other option but to issue civil fines. Regardless of whether pot is legal in Washington, people who travel back and forth across the northern border usually understand two things. Going north, the kiss of death is drunken driving. Coming south, it's marijuana. And that's your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 22nd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at the combat sports, boxing and mixed martial arts, and how they equate marijuana to performance-enhancing drugs like steroids and elevated testosterone. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
In the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
Normal. And speaking of Washington Normal, I'll be headed up to Olympia tomorrow night for a fundraising dinner for Washington Normal at Frankie's Club up there in Olympia Lacey area. And so if you're up in that area and you'd like to contribute to Washington Normal, I believe the fundraising dinner is $30. That gets you the dinner and the membership to Frankie's up there, which is the membership only pot smoking allowed private club, perfectly legal up there in Washington. So we'll be heading up there on the Amtrak tomorrow. Hope to see you there. But now it's time for us to go behind the headlines. And I wanted to just focus a little bit on these recent punishments for mixed martial arts fighters and of course, the boxer, Julio Cesar Chavez. Alex Caceres, we covered his story just a couple days ago, got suspended 6 months for marijuana metabolites in a post-fight drug test. Nick Diaz, we've covered him a lot. He's the medical marijuana patient in California who's been now caught twice. The second time he was caught, suspended for a year. We got Matt Riddle, who was just dropped from the UFC for his positive test. Thiago Silva, who was suspended for his positive test. And then again, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. from boxing, who the Nevada State Athletic Commission fined him 30% of his $3 million purse, cost him $900,000. For a positive P-test. That's just amazing. Now, these are guys that are making a living with their fists, and in mixed martial arts, their feet, too, and they're being unfairly punished for their use of marijuana. Now, yesterday, Marijuana Policy Project pointed this out. They put up this huge billboard criticizing the Nevada State Athletic Commission about fining him $900,000 for Chavez Jr.'s positive test for marijuana. Now, today, the UFC got into this controversy. This guy was the executive vice president of media. I think it was media relations. I could be mistaken on that, but one of the executive vice presidents from the Ultimate Fighting Championship criticized the Nevada State Athletic Commission's equal treatment of drug test failures for marijuana and performance enhancing drugs. And his quote, this is UFC's vice president of regulatory affairs, Mark Ratner, said, quote, "Right now, I just cannot believe that a performance-enhancing drug and marijuana can be treated the same. It just doesn't make sense to the world anymore," end quote. So They're coming to their senses here. Nick Diaz was just in a fight. He just had a 5-round championship fight that he lost to UFC champ Georges St. Pierre, who's a monster, been champ for like 5 years. He's unbelievable. But put up a good fight, went 5 rounds with the man. Now, Diaz was suspended in 2012 for 1 year for the Nevada State Athletic Commission because he had a second positive marijuana metabolite test. He's got his medical recommendation in California, and he stops using marijuana long before his fights. But you know and I know that marijuana metabolites are funny things. They'll stick around sometimes and catch you when you're not expecting it. And this is what's happened to him. Now, the UFC's president has weighed in this. This guy's name is Dana White. Kind of has a haircut like mine. Dana White has also commented on the illogic of equating marijuana to, like, you know, steroids, right? That's what they're basing. They're finding and punishing these guys the same as if they're caught with steroids or testosterone or EPO, any of those, you know, performance-enhancing drugs. He said this. This is Dana White. Quote, "To say that marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug, I think it's the exact opposite. What the commission is saying is they think it's a painkiller. Still ridiculous," end quote. So the head of the UFC doesn't see marijuana as performance enhancing or pain killing. Now, he's wrong on that count, by the way. We actually have more scientific evidence of the analgesic properties of cannabis than almost anything else it does, except for anti-emetic properties, you know, nausea, right? But given the context of what he's talking about, these guys are testing positive for metabolites. They're not pulling bong rips and going into the cage, right? They're not high at the time. So any pain killing properties that we even could, you know, admit that marijuana has, it's not happening in the ring. Now, you want to make an argument outside the ring during training, allowing them to recover faster or have more flexibility. Now we got a discussion, but at this point, we don't have that discussion. At this point, it's just discrimination. So, here's the other thing that's interesting about this. Dana White, the president here, is quite aware that his fighters are using marijuana, not just some of them, most of them. Here's another quote I found from him. "Everybody thinks that if you did this random testing, you'd catch random drug testing. You'd catch so many guys on performance enhancing drugs. No, you'd catch more of the guys on marijuana. That's where you'd really bust a lot of guys. So we got 475 guys under contract and 400 of them would be out with marijuana suspensions." That's 84% of the UFC. If you do the math on that, it's like 84% or so of the UFC fighters, he says, are using marijuana. Why are they using marijuana? Well, we know why. Anti-inflammatory, pain-killing, relaxation. Joe Rogan talks about using marijuana before he goes in for training because it helps him focus, helps him calm, helps him get into that, you know, zen-like state. We could talk a whole lot about that. But the standard argument they have, you know, if the guys get caught, if they fail, is, well, yeah, it's a stupid rule, but it's the rule. You knew it was the rule. Right. Here's what Dana White and the UFC said they would have to do if this recent fight, because they asked him, you know, pre-fight, they said, well, you know, he's fighting Georges St. Pierre for the championship. What if he wins or loses, you know, regardless, and turns up positive for pot again? What would you do? Here's a guy that rises to the top of his sport, fighting the greatest fighter in the UFC. Obviously, it's not hurting his career anyway. What would Dana White do? Here's what he says. "With 2 past strikes on his record, could Diaz's UFC tenure survive another positive marijuana test? UFC President Dana White thinks not, believing that releasing Diaz from his contract would likely be inevitable if he tests positive following the St. Pierre fight. Quote, I would say we would probably have to," end quote. Now, again, the standard argument is, you know, marijuana is illegal under state and federal law, and it's forbidden under the athletic drug testing rules. But everybody involved here seems to admit that marijuana is not endangering the fighters' health, and it's not cheating their opponents. Fighters like Nick Diaz and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., they're at the top of their respective combat sports. It's not as if smoking pot's hurting their fight game. And now that 18 states allow for medical use of cannabis, and 2 states have made marijuana legal for adults, period, it makes even less sense to incentivize those athletes to choose alcohol over marijuana by prohibiting the latter, but not the former. And ESPN's mixed martial arts blog tends to agree with me. Lesser punishment would be appreciated. That would be fine if they want to reduce the punishment for pot, so it's not the same level as performance-enhancing drugs. But it's time for these athletic anti-doping agencies to stop testing for marijuana altogether. Unless you can show us that it's a performance-enhancing drug. I mean, Maybe for Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Oh my goodness, look at the time. It's 20 after. It's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone, the land of my birth. And that means, Terry Joyce, we have a very important duty we must take care of. The DEA has instructed us to destroy Schedule 1 drugs in small controlled burns.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Tondo Radio.
Great. Drugs make me strong. Drugs make me smart. Drugs make me feel good. Drugs make me cool.
You believe that crap? Huh? You believe all that stuff they're handing you about drugs? You want to believe in something? How about yourself? Don't do drugs.
Big Daddy Think.
Funky Roller Rink, Roller Rink, Roller Rink.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Mmm. Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Oh, yeah, it's Rockin' Friday, and it's not just any Rockin' Friday. This one's going to be a real hard Rockin' Friday. We got Herb Thrasher calling in with some fantastic preview news for tonight, huh?
Dude, we're really rocking tonight, man. We're at least going to do our best to try and bring the rock to 420radio.org. As tonight, me and yourself and Iko and whoever else is going to come out and rock with us, some of our favorite bands from Seattle, Lucero, and December in Red are coming down to Portland. They're going to play tonight at the Red Room, and it's on 82nd Avenue in Portland, Oregon, right there at 2530 Northeast. And you guys come out and join us, and we're going to bring the show. We're going to try to do the show from the Red Room, and then we're also going to stream the band's live sets and who knows in between. So looks to be just a great night on Herb Thrasher Flower tonight, and hope you guys are going to join us.
And not only that, we get to debut these rockin' new Herb Thrasher t-shirts.
Nice, man. Are they in? I heard they were in, but I haven't even seen them yet.
Yeah,
I've seen the art, you know, of course, but I haven't seen the finished product, and I'm very excited. So you guys be looking out for those. We'll have them on the website very soon. As soon as I find out what's going on, we'll let y'all know what's going on.
Yeah, there's one. We got a few more in black, and then we got one gray one on hemp just for you.
Oh, man.
Courtesy of Handmade Apparel, and of course, TimmyHarris.com, Big Daddy Fink.
Love those guys, man. Those guys are VIP all-stars on this team and have always been, as a lot of you guys out there, and we appreciate everyone who pitches in to grow this community.
Right on. All right, let's get to some rock and roll. We got Lucero. People listening to Thrasher know about him, but you better tell the folks on Russ Belville Show.
That's right, that's right. So we've been following these guys for a long time. They had the opportunity to play the Seattle Hemp Fest last year, and they also played the Portland Hemp Stock last year, and I expect them to do the same this year. They got to go on a small tour with Head PE, and so they've been just a lot of great things up and coming for these guys. They released an album last year, self-titled Lucero. They're a four-piece, high-energy, kind of graceful band, light metal, maybe heavy, hard rock, and a lot of influence from maybe Led Zeppelin to the Deftones to Metallica and just all in between. We have a great song right here. This is the fifth song off the self-titled album of Lucero, and this is Exile. And you guys can find out all about them. They're on Facebook. They're on Twitter. And they have a, they're always on Facebook, in fact. They're big Facebookers. So you guys can contact them, like their page, tell them what's up. And better, you can come see them tonight and meet them. And so we're going to rock and roll. You guys turn this up. Keep supporting cannabis. Nice to see Pierre and Roe J there. And you guys keep rocking and rolling. And we'll see you tonight.
All right. Let's get to it. This is Lucero with Exile. And you can find out more. Go to herbthrasher.com and find great, great content with Herb and Lucero. See you at the Red Room tonight. Lucero, September in Red, and others. You're streaming live right here at 420radio.org. Make sure you check it out and tell your friends. We'll be right back with Danny Danko after this.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave. Open up, man. I got the stuff.
Who is it?
It's me, Dave, man. Open up. I got the stuff.
Who?
It's Dave, man. Open up. I think the cops saw me come in here.
Who is it?
It's Dave, man. Will you open up? I got the stuff with me.
Who?
Dave, man. Open up.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave. Come on, man. Open up. I think the cops
saw me. Dave's not here.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the goddamn
Dave?
Door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
What? Free weed! Free weed! Danny Danko on the normal radio. Free weed! Free weed! Oh, yo! Danny Danko come to show you how it grows.
You're now tuned in to the Free Weed by Danny Danko on Normal Radio, presented by High Times Magazine. See me, I say, boom, bang, big respect. See me, I say, Danny Danko, oh, oh, oh.
Well, that's right. Free it's time weed. For us to tune in with our good Free friend, Danny weed. Danko. Danny, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. How are you, Russ?
I'm doing great. DJ Winstrong opening up with the Danny Danko Free Weed song, and the podcast is still going strong. How many episodes are you guys up to now?
We've done 35 episodes, and the last one we just put out, I was really truly honored to have Tommy Chong as a guest on the podcast. Tommy and his son Paris came on, so that was great.
Yeah, that's been running on replays here on 420 Radio, and I've been listening to it. It was a great interview. It's just so good to hear that family and, you know, what they've been through, and to make it through to the other side like this and receive all the accolades. I mean, we just got back from the Bernadoubi Cup, and he got the Lifetime Achievement Award, so a lot of things happening there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess they asked me to appear on their podcast as well, the Chong and Chong Show. So at some point in the near future, I'll be on there as well, which should be fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, looking forward to that. Absolutely. Another thing we're looking forward to have a clumsy segue here, of course, is 420, and it's less than 30 days away. Oh, my God. The first Cannabis Cup in America. Are you psyched or what?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, I'm psyched and I'm scared at the same time just because we've got so many people coming. I mean, we're sold out right now. Of all the tickets that we, you know, were able to sell in advance.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, it's still almost a month away. I heard a rumor that there might be some tickets going on sale, this upcoming week because, we're working on adding a Friday night party, which, you know, I guess I can give you the exclusive. We're, hoping that Snoop Dogg is going to, Snoop Lion, I should say, is going to be appearing that Friday night at a venue right in the town of Denver. And, so we'll be releasing tickets for that.
Wow.
And, so that should be pretty interesting.
You heard it here first, a Friday night party at the 419 in Denver with Snoop Lion. And, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and, of course, the Saturday night party. There's a bunch of parties in town, of course, because Denver is going to really truly be the epicenter of the cannabis world on 420. And
It
just so happens, you know, that it falls on a Saturday this year. And so there's going to be a ton of stuff going on. I know there's a Method Man and Redman show. There's a sold out, Slightly Stupid and Cypress Hill show at Red Rocks. I'm excited, but at the same time, you know, we're all kind of, you know, we've added a bunch of staff and volunteers and stuff in order to just deal with, the larger amount of people that we were expecting.
Wow. And I'll give you an idea of how big 420 in Denver is going to be. I just got back from Atlanta, and we convinced Sharon Ravert, who's with the Georgia Moms for Marijuana and Peachtree Normal, we convinced her to catch a flight to Denver, like come up to Denver and, you know, see the cup. It's the first cup. It's going to be great. And apparently she travels back and forth to Denver a lot to go skiing, right? So she goes, y'all, this is something else. I looked up on that schedule. Usually there's only AirTran flights. There's like four flights that leave out of Atlanta that'll go to Denver. On 419, there's 12 flights. Got 12 yeah. flights ready to go.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah, you know, this is the first time we've had a recreational smoking area so that anyone over 21 years of age is going to be able to legally smoke in that area. And, we've added, Exto has been really great. The event center has added the street. They're blocking off the 35th Street right there for that full block, and they've added a big parking lot across from Exto that they own as part of our recreating area. And we still have, of course, we have all the medicating area with all of the, the dispensaries and stuff that have competing in the contest, and anyone who's a patient in Colorado will have access to that. But we've got people coming from all over the country who want to just participate in the event, and it's very exciting. We're just gearing up now for how to, logistic wise, we're getting 3 or 4 times more people than we normally get at one of these events. So, we just have to add more of everything.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you having us there as well. We're going to be there at the nonprofit booth area. We've been speaking with Dave Bienenstock on that, and it's just going to be so exciting to see so many people there celebrating legality and, not seeing the world come to an end when we do. So, what kind of details do people need to know? I mean, it's sold out, I guess. I guess they can't get tickets or anything, but what should they need to know here about this upcoming cup?
Well, basically, just, there's probably going to be some issues with parking, so you may want to take public transportation if you can walk. I definitely would recommend walking. You can ride a bike and lock it up or something. But, what should people know? I mean, if you're over 21 and you have a ticket, then you're welcome in the recreating area. Anyone with a medical card for Colorado can go into the medicating area, which should be interesting as well. If you're there for the first time, if you're at one of these events for the first time and you're doing BABS for the first time, which is the PHO and all that, I would just say, sit down, be very careful, be mindful of making sure you've had enough water in your system, stay hydrated, and just be careful, because those things are pretty potent
I'm glad you brought that up, Danny, because we were just, I was speaking with Diane Goldstein of Leap. We were just out in Atlanta together, and we were both also at the Cup in San Bernardino. And there were a few incidences, maybe 4 that I saw, of, medical attention having to be brought to people who had passed out from doing the dabs. And, I kept counseling people. It's like, well, yeah, part of it's that, but part of it's, how hot is it? And part of it is how much have you had to drink or had to eat? Were you locking your knees while you're standing there? Did you take a big lung buster hit? I mean, I like to make the analogy that, doing dabs, think of it like the whiskey of pot. Right. You wouldn't take a 16-ounce pint of whiskey and chug it. Right. So take it easy, folks. Right. Take it easy.
Yeah. Especially, first timers, that's typically who tends to come around. They're not expecting it to be quite as hard hitting. I'm kind of known for, doing little baby dabs.
Sure.
Because I just can't handle that much smoke in my lungs at one time. And it's not even a question of tolerance or anything. I prefer it that way, because that way I don't have a huge coughing fit, and I can actually enjoy that kind of uplifting kind of rush that it gives you.
Oh, sure.
Without the coughing fit, it inevitably would happen if I took a much bigger dab. So,
well, there's also the aspect of you got shit to do.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a very interesting seminar at this cup. I'm going to have DJ Short, Adam from Change Seed, Scott from Rare Business, and Kyle Cushman. So we've got quite an array of Cannabis Cup winning breeders to talk about growing, breeding, proper drying, and curing, all those things that make cannabis, the highest level of cannabis.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of knowledge there, folks. You can pick up a lot of information from the booth that will be there. You'll see more innovative stuff than you've ever seen. Every time I go to one of these, Danny, there's some new gadget or thing that I go, oh, well, that's the shit for this one. That's awesome. I just love these events.
Yeah. And then because we have so many people coming to this particular event from other places, which obviously most of them and all of them probably have stricter laws, we really want people to understand it's a celebration, but it's also a gathering at which you're going to gather energy that you bring home to change the laws in your place. We can't all just continuously keep flooding into, you know, Denver or Seattle or any, you know, this energy and legalization has to spread to Alabama, and it has to spread to Florida, and it has to spread to New York State. You know, we got to bring it full circle so that everyone can enjoy the freedom that we are going to enjoy in Denver.
Absolutely. And I've often said that one of the difficulties in fighting for legalization is nobody knows what it looks like. So come to Denver, see what it looks like, and then now you can take that vision. You can come back and say, I have seen the promised land, and you can come back and show people the way, man. That's the way it's going to work. Hey, Danny, yeah. I wanted to talk to you about an interesting article I read. I think it was on Salon, but it was talking about the emerging market for low potency weed, and it referenced, you know, a Louis C.K. Routine where he says, back in the day, you used to be able to smoke a joint. Now you smoke two puffs of this stuff and you're out. So I just wanted to ask your opinion on that, about how legalization is going to lead to a newer market for low potency yet well cultivated marijuana.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's something that I've heard for years and years, you know, like people saying, like, oh, you know, I wish I could, but it's, you know, it's just too strong. And there's definitely a market for that out there, you know, sort of a pot light kind of a product that, you know, that's not, you know, going to be in the 25% THC level. And, you know, that stuff is out there. It exists. And once we're able to, you know, lab test everything, and, you know, I think there will be a growing demand for, you know, pot that's not quite as strong as, you know, what we typically think of as a cup winner. You know, we test for potency, and, you know, as connoisseurs, a lot of times we're looking for, you know, the strongest because we smoke every day. But the people who are, you know, weekly or monthly tokers, they just don't want something quite that potent. And so there definitely will be a market for that, for sure.
Are you looking for a smooth smoke that doesn't take your head off? Try new Pot Light, endorsed by Danny Danko. It's new Pot Light.
And I mean, I think the other thing is that, like, you know, it's always in the right now in the face of prohibition. It's you know, a grower is much more likely to grow an indica strain that finishes quickly and yields a lot of bud. But a lot of what people are looking for is basically just a nice sativa, something they can smoke without kind of wrecking their whole schedule for the day. And so, you know, once we end marijuana prohibition, I think that there will be a lot more incentive for growers to grow those, you know, sativa dominant plants that, you know, I wouldn't call it pot light. I would just say it's a different feeling that a lot of people aren't used to, because they're so inundated with indica dominant strains that they just assume that all pot kind of feels that way. But the truth of the matter is the sativa dominant plants can be a really nice uplifting high, and it can really, I hear from a lot of the old timers and Vietnam veterans and stuff that when they smoke a real haze, it reminds them of that, you know, the Vietnamese old kind of electric pot that they smoked back then. And I think that's, it's not even necessarily a potency thing so much as a, you know, like, I guess just a feeling that you get from it, the actual high. Mm.
You know, I also leads me, I'm reading some over our chat room as well, and it kind of brings to mind heirloom strains, these older strains mm-hmm. from back in the day that people used to talk about. And what are the chances we're going to see a resurgence of any of those, or have we just lost some of those genetics?
No, I mean, I do think that they're out there, and, you know, a lot of that stuff still exists. A lot of people who were the growers of the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they kept those strains alive. So there is a resurgence of those land races, all from all over Asia, from all over Southeast Asia, Africa. Those are really the building blocks for the breeders to create new material. So the more legal we make it, the more options we'll have as far as a lot of those strains. I mean, the problem is some of them take, you know, 15 weeks or 20 weeks to flower. Wow. As compared with a, you know, an 8-week indica. And so the incentive isn't there for the grower unless it's for their head stash. So, you know, in the absence of prohibition, that incentive, you know, that, you know, it's not quite as important to finish quickly. And those heirloom strains and those classic kind of old school strains are going to reemerge, you know, the Panama Red and the Colombian Gold and all of that. Mm. It's already begun to happen.
Yeah, yeah, we want to see more of that, where the price point differential on weed isn't, you know, who could smuggle the most, it's who could grow the best, and that's what I'm really looking forward to. That's going to be great. Hey, Danny, that's about, we're just about out of time here, but before we go, I always like to give you the last word as far as what's coming up for High Times in the magazine or any political insights you might have.
Well, politically, you know, we're really working hard in New York State to try to get medical marijuana here. So if people, you know, sign the petitions and call their congresspeople, as far as High Times, along with our event on 420, we are also relaunching a new hightimes.com. We've revamped the website completely. There's going to be a whole bunch of really cool, we had the same people who did the Vice website work on our website. So it's really modern. It's going to have a lot of real cool interactive qualities. We're going to be doing a ton more posting. We're going to probably have 5 or 6 new posts a day on that website, you know, to kind of make it somewhere you want to visit every single day. And we're really excited about that. That's launching 420. Obviously, the Denver event is going to be huge. After that, we're doing San Francisco in June. And then we're hoping to be back in Seattle in September. And that's how that's going. And magazine's going great, and the events are just incredible.
Yes. And Amsterdam in November then?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be back in Amsterdam for the 26th annual High Times Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam. And tickets are on sale for that as well at cannabiscup.com. And, yeah, we're just chugging along. I mean, it looks like, you know, we really have the momentum now. The pendulum really can't shift back towards more prohibition. And so now it's just a matter of, you know, riding the wave and making sure that the, you know, the right people are in charge of our destiny.
Right on, Danny. Hey, I will see you in Denver. It's going to be a good time. And we hope to see a whole lot of our listeners there as well. Check out Free Weed from Danny Danko, replaying here on 420 Radio and also at hightimes.com/freeweed. Danny, thanks again, man. We'll see you next month.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're in studio live with Terry Joyce, the Hollywood Hemptress. Stick around. It's the Russ Belville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Normal stands for responsible adult cannabis use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. Five of the last 7 major party candidates to run for president, 3 of the last 7 vice presidential candidates, and the last 3 presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Our next guest on A Different View is brought to you by the Normal Women's Alliance, a nonpartisan coalition of socially and geographically diverse
women. That's definitely not the right intro. We'll have to find a better intro than that. It's Friday, folks. Are we having fun on Friday? Let's try this again. We will get the proper intro for our good friend, Terry Joyce, who is right here with us
well,
for a
you.
Chat. You must have the proper intro. There we go.
There we go.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belleville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
Well, welcome back, folks. 50 after the hour. And like I mentioned, as advertised, we have the Hollywood Hemptress, Terry Joyce, in the house with us. How you doing, Terry?
I am doing great.
People love you. So, Terry Joyce is the hostess of the Hollywood Hemptress Hour, but you're now here in the Pacific Northwest, as
yes.
we mentioned earlier, because you can.
Because I can. because I wanted a change. I feel that Los Angeles, I don't know, it's kind of dog eat dog down there. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it really is. And I looked around, I went all the billboards and the concrete, and I was like, I'm not vibing this game. And
yeah.
and it's not that I don't like television or comedy or art in any way, shape, or form, but I just really felt that it was just like there's something about it that's like it's missing a little bit of soul.
Yeah.
And so I moved to Portland.
So there's soul here in Portland then.
I feel that there is. I mean, there's more trees, you
yeah.
know, and I guess maybe I'm just more like people. I'm turning into like a hippie. People are going, I want to tug some trees, and, you know, maybe go vegan.
Drop some acid.
I want to be accepted for who I am anywhere, you know.
Portland will do that to you.
It's a fantastic place to be. It's becoming quite a comedy mecca. And of course, people will know you from your stint on Last Comic Standing. The inaugural season.
Yeah, I was first. It's exciting to be first season.
Yeah,
it's, you know. Yeah, yeah.
You're in that.
That
Kelly Clarkson, Adrian Curry.
Yeah, you know, MTV
first,
you know, Real World first. You know, I like that. You know, also, and not to brag or anything like that, but our season was nominated for. You know, an Emmy. It was
wow.
Emmy Award.
Oh,
Emmy.
Wow.
It was the only season that was. It was that year where reality television just this huge boom. They had a big in 2003 where they had 100 reality television stars like parade on the Universal Amphitheater, and we did that. It was so bizarre. It was like Joe Millionaire.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, the Survivor people party like. Animals, you know. I mean, like they go, "I'm on Survivor," and they're like, "Stop!"
Not for long.
Yeah, I'm like, wow.
And so, of course, after the last Comic Standing, you had, of course, the well publicized affair with President Clinton.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, no. But that's secretive.
Oh, sorry, wrong notes. Sorry.
He's the first person who really turned me on to weed.
I did not inhale.
Yeah.
But I ate the shit out of brownies.
Well, there's a picture on Facebook that was going around where Clinton and Hillary look really hippie like.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, fraud. You were just trying to fit in then.
So what about our current Schumer in chief, Barack Obama?
Yeah.
Said he not only said he inhaled but did so frequently. But now we've got all this, you know, fighting against medical marijuana dispensaries. I mean, you were in a raid before the Obama administration, right? It was during Bush administration, right?
During Bush.
Yeah, and that's what kind of galvanized you into being an
Oh, activist. Absolutely. I was like, what?
They can point
like,
guns at you?
Really, really Pollyannish, like, but I voted for this. You know, I mean, that was the whole, yeah.
How can they do this?
I was shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will change some lives. And since then, you've been, you know, quite involved in activism. You've been
yeah.
working with Dejay Kuti and a bunch of other activists there in California.
I did Occupy. I did that. Was in the media department on Occupy. I'm on a list, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I go, well, great. I always wanted to make the list. you know, I mean, it's the only way I can think about it. I don't know if it's true or not true, but here's a recommendation. If you ever do anything with activists, do not wear red. Do not walk around in a red hat or cap or whatever, because you don't blend in. So, I mean, there's a reason why they have the mask on. You
gotcha.
Know, and so then like, a friend of mine, you know, called me up and he said, you know, he's got connections to the 1% or whatever. And he goes, his mom works for the 1% apparently. And he calls me up and he goes, you know, you're on a list. They have pictures of you and everything. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't drive your car to Occupy or and he goes, and maybe just change your looks. And so I bought this wig that, you know, I call it my Goldie Hawn wig, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I went to another protest and I'm thinking, I must look different. They go, hey, Terry, how's it going? I'm like, no, I'm in disguise. You know? It's kind of like one of those things where you're like I have to look at like a drag queen just to stand up for my civil rights.
That's a crazy world that we're living in, but you know, fighting for the end of marijuana prohibition is definitely something that we're all cool with here. Now part of Atomic Comedy Network?
Yes, yeah. It was, you know, my friend Michael Jenkins, he's a comedian and has worked, you know, in the industry a lot, and also, like, is a booker for an agency called Tribble Run. The Tribble gigs are, that's like kind of where a new comic cuts their teeth.
Okay.
Where you might, like, you go and you're in demographic, like, there's cowboys. And I'm not saying cowboys are not okay. I gotta tell you about cowboys now. Cowboys are really into pot.
Yes.
I mean, I went to Longview, New Plymouth, Idaho.
I know of New Plymouth,
Idaho. Total cowboy bar. Mm-hmm. And I went up there and I talked about weed and they were just like, yeah. I mean, like, I go, really? And then afterwards, really? They go, you want to go smoke out? I'm like, yeah, you know? And I even was given a gift. They go, we grew it. And I'm like, man, thanks, man. You know? And I was just like, wow, this is like, I feel like there's definitely something that's changing, mm-hmm. that wasn't like before.
Yeah, it was that way for me in Idaho. Of course, I was playing music in the day, but New Plymouth, Weezer, Mountain Home, all these what you would think are kind of farmer, rancher, cowboy, redneck towns, substantial number of tokers there, and not the people you would think would be tokers. I mean, that, I guess that's the lesson, though, is that who you think could be tokers is never who you think, because we're everybody.
I'll tell you a place that doesn't is Grant's Pass. Okay? They smoke, but the venue I went to, because the woman who booked me, I don't know why, she took my avatar that has a little pot leaf on it that's, you know, for the show, and she used that rather than the headshot, and the manager got really pissed.
Oh.
And he goes, that can happen. And then they took a decaled sticker, they retook the flower and stuck it on there. And so when I went there the first night, I saw the poster, how they altered it, and I go, that's freaking hilarious. So I took a picture of it, and I put it on Facebook. I go, look what they did, and people were going, blasphemy!
How could you? Grants Pass, Oregon. That's amazing. They grow some really good weed in Grants Pass.
That's what I heard. I ended up, like, yeah. I was sitting there, though, when somebody after the show came up, I was sitting there talking, I go, man, I smell bud right now. Why? And I looked down, and he had set, like, a big old freaking fat joint right there in front of me, like at the table after the show. And I took a picture of it. It was so beautiful. And it was great.
Fantastic. Excellent. Now, we were just talking with Danny Danko about indicas and sativas. And one thing I've noticed is once you get past about San Jose, after you're heading south, you get past about San Jose, you're in OG Kush land. You're in Kushville, right?
Uh-huh.
And when you head north, once you get past about Eugene, you're now in kind of sativa land up here in the Pacific Northwest. Have you found that with the weed you've been smoking? It's a more heady weed up here in the Northwest?
I first started smoking weed really in the Northwest.
Oh, okay.
Mostly. I mean, like, not that I hadn't done it in my lifetime before, but it wasn't until I started, like, hanging out in the comedy scene here that I go, wow, these comics smoke a lot of weed. I would tell people, and I started getting used to it, like, sort of liking it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, then I come back up here again, and I go, well, I'm just going to surrender to it. I'm going to be smoking weed, you know? And
when in Rome,
surrender.
And so, I guess that, now that you've mentioned it, that's the kind of weed I like. So when I went down south, or when I go home, or wherever in other parts, that's what I always ask for. I want a sativa or a sativa hybrid. Not to say that I don't like the indicas, but you can't function on it really very well.
Well, you know, there's a difference. There's some people with, I found that ADD or ADHD, they have an opposite effect. So, you know, I've worked with the medical community a lot, and I'm actually one of those people where the indicas get me up and the sativas knock me down.
Yeah.
So, just something to keep in mind for, the few of us out there.
Yep. You're like those, same with kids with ADD. You give them Ritalin.
Yep.
It's an amphetamine, and it calms them down. Everybody
else.
It makes you like popcorn. You like popcorn? I like popcorn. You like salt on your popcorn? I like butter on my popcorn. You like popcorn?
I don't like popcorn.
Hey, that sound means that's all the time we got for this first hour, but we're going to take it into hour two. We'll take your calls here at 971-533-7111. We're hanging out with Terry Joyce and Brian the Red. So we'll just continue having some fun. It's a Friday. I'm kicking ass in the NCAA brackets, and we're doing some live Herb Thrasher tonight at the Red Room just down the road here on 82nd Avenue. Check it out tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time. For Terry Joyce and Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you plan it.